Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Meseches Bava Kamma has been dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Chaim Weiss, Lizchus Refuah Shleima of Miriam Farcha Bas Esther.
Bava Kamma Daf Pei Hei. We'll begin at the bottom of Pei Dalet Omid Beis. The Gemara discusses that which the Mishnah says, what is the Chiv of Tzar, Kvoi Bashvud Oy Bemasmer, Afilu Al Tziponoi Mokem She'en Oysen Chabura. The Chiv of Tzar is, even if he hurts him in a place where there was no Chabura. The Gemara wants to know who's the Tanan that holds like this. And the Gemara is telling us the machlokes between Rebbe and Ben Azai. And the Maskanas of Gemara, Rebbe is the shita that holds that the Zachiv of Tzar, even Shloi B'Malkim Nezek. Now, Tosafot over here at the bottom of Peidal and Mabez sends us that which Tosafot writes earlier in the Masechta on Daf Chavov of Mabez. And over there he asks Akasha, the Sig over here is matched with there's a greater chiddush to tell us that the Zachiv of Tzar, even Shloi B'Malkim Nezek. The Mashmaris of the Gemara is that we need a special riboy for that. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, and this is the shita of Rebbe. Ben Azai argues on this. And the mashmaris of the Gemara is that the Tzar B'Malkim Nezek is more pashit. There everyone would agree that they're chayiv to pay on the Tzar. And Tosafot asks, how does this fit with the Gemara earlier on in Daf Chavov Amid Beis, as well as the Gemara in Daf Pei Daled Amid Aleph and Pei Hei Amid Aleph? In all these places, the Gemara brings the drasha of Petza Tachas Pota, Litin Tzar B'Malkim Nezek. This would be mashmaris that there's an added chiddush to say that even B'Malkim Nezek you have to pay for the chiv of Tzar. That's the opposite of this Gemara over here, Pei Daled Amid Beis, which is mashma that it's more pashit to pay for the chiv of Tzar when there is no Nezek. So Tosafot over there answers this kasha, and he says that the term Shloi B'Malkim Nezek in Erzog on Daf Pei Daled Amid Beis has a different meaning than the word Tzar B'Malkim Nezek, which Gemara uses in other places. Over here, the words Tzar Shloi B'Malkim Nezek do not mean that there was a Tzar and there was no Nezek caused, one is not paying for the Chiv of Nezek. Rather, it means that there was no Reshem Bechlal. There was no mark left from the burn. That's the case of the Mishnah, Kvoya B'Shvut B'Masmer Rafilu Al Tziponoi. The chiddush of this case of the Mishnah is that even though there was no mark left, one cannot see any wound on the finger and the fingernail, still then is that there's a chiv mishum tzar. That's the chiddush of our Gemara, and that's the Gemara says it's telling the machlokes between Rebbe and Ben Azai. The other Gemaras which talk about tzar b'malkim nezek, the mashmais of those Gemaras are that there's a greater chiddush that one has to pay for the tzar even though he's paying for the nezek. That would be mashmais that if he's not paying mishum nezek, then it's more pashut that he pays for the chiv of tzar. That's in a case where there is a chabura, a mark was left on the person. The mark did not cause the person to go down in value. He could still be sold for an eved for the same price, and therefore there is no chiv of nezek. In that case, where he had a chabur done to him, and there was tzar in this chabura, there definitely is a chiv of tzar. That's more partial than in the case where there was a chiv of nezek. For that, you need a pasuk of petzach tachas potza to tell us a chiddush that even when you're actually paying for the nezek, the wound did cause the person to go down in value, and you're paying for the chiv of nezek. And that you need a drasha to tell us that even in the case where you're paying for the nezek, you still have to pay for the tzar as well. So this is how Tosafot answers the steer in the two Gemaras. So again, the way Tosafot learns the Gemara over here will come out that the machlokes between Rebbe and Ben Azai, and we'll explain it according to the Maskana. This is the way Rav Papa learns. The Rebbe holds Kviya Nemra Tchilo, Kviya Deispe Chabura Mashma. The pshat will be that a standard burn does involve a mark left behind, and therefore we would say that the Chiv of Tzar is Dafka when there is a Reisham. The Pasuk afterwards then says the Lashon of Chabura to be Megal to us that Kviya is the Lespa Chabura. The chiv for a burn, the chiv of tzar, is even when there is no reishim. That's the sheet of Rabbi, and Ben Azai holds that kviya d'les b'chabur mashma. The standard burn would not necessarily involve a mark left behind. Therefore, you would say that the chiv of tzar is even if there is no reishim. Therefore, the pasuk says afterwards, the lashon of chabura to be megal to us that you only chayv on a kviya that has a chabura, meaning you only chayv mishum tzar when there is a reishim left behind. That was the first pshat of Rav Papa. The second pshat was a little bit different. Everyone agrees, Kviyas Mashpa, Bein Dispa Chabura, Bein Dlesba Chabura, and they argue about Klalu Prata Meruchakim Zemize. Akpam, this is the sheet of Tosis on Daf Chavav Amid Beis. Now, Rashi, however, in Erzog, would be Mashpa that he understood differently. Rashi, in Dibur Maschal, Tzav Shaloi B'Mokim Nezek, he says, Ki Maslisin, like for example, the case in our Mishnah, Al Tziparnoi, Deloi Afchasei. Rashi explains what the Gemara says over here, Tzav Shaloi B'Mokim Nezek, it means in a case where there's tzar, which did not cause him to go down in value. That's Lashon of Rashi, Dilei Afchasei, his value as an Eved did not go down. Kepshutai, Rashi understands that the word Nezek over here means Kepshutai, a chiv to pay for the Hezek that he caused in this Chavallah, as opposed to Tosafot's Pshat that the word Nezek over here has a different meaning. It means a Reisham, a mark left behind. And that was according to Rashi, what the Gemara over here is saying is, how do we know that you're Chayiv Mishum Tzar, even Shloi B'Malkim Nezek, even when he's not paying for the chiv of Nezek, how do you know that he still has to pay for the chiv of Tzar? If so, the kasha of Tosafot would come back. This seems to be a steer to the other Gemaras, which are mashma, that it's more partial that you have to pay for Mishum Tzar when there is no Chiv of Nezek. Here the Gemara is mashma that when there's no Chiv of Nezek, it's more of a Chiddush. So in the Sefer Nachlas David on Daf Chavav Amir Beis, he says we can answer for the Shita of Rashi And even though the two sugyos are opposite svaras, but both svaras are possibly true, and therefore we need a pasuk in both directions. In other words, there is a svar to say that the chiv of tzar is dafka b'mokim nezek, meaning just the fact alone that he caused pain, that would not necessarily always be mechayev him. It's only in the case where already he's paying anyways mishum nezek, so the Torah adds on an additional payment for the pain that he caused as well. That's the chiddush to say that you're chayev mishum tzar even shloim b'mokim nezek. That's what the Gemara over here means on daf peidah amud beis. However, there is also a svar in the opposite direction. Maybe the Torah gave the chiv of tzar only in the case where there was no other payment involved for this chabura. Here the Torah says that even if there is no other chiv, but if he caused pain, he has to pay mishum tzar. However, in the case where the chayvel anyway is paying, he's paying mishum nezek, there perhaps we could think that this would suffice, and the Torah would not have to give an additional chiv. That would need the drasha of petza tachas potza to be mechayv mishum tzar even b'mokim nezek, even if he's paying mishum nezek, the Torah was mechayv also that he has to pay for the tzar. So this would be one possible mahalach to answer the shita of Rashi. However, we could suggest another mahalach based on Rashi ala Torah. In Parshas Mishpatim, on this pasuk of Petza Tachas Potza, Rashi brings Agamon in Perek HaChoyvel, and he says like this, he says, "V'achoyvel darshu Rabbi Seinu l'chayv al atzar afil b'mokam nezek," and he explains, "Sha'afal pishen noisen like d'mei yodoy, ein peitun oisem min atzar loymar, hoyl v'kona yodoy, yeshulov l'chotchoy b'chol ma sheyirtze, elo oimrem yeshulov l'chotchoy b'sam, she'enim etzar kol kach, v'zeh chotchoy b'barzel v'tziyaroy." Rashi explains why do you need this drasha to tell us you're chayv on tzar b'mokim nezek, because one would have thought that since this person is already paying for his hand, that's included in the chiv of nezek. So once already he paid for the hand, one may have thought that he now has a right to sever the hand with whatever method he wants. Therefore, you have the pasuk to tell us that even though he paid for the value of the hand, that does not give him a right to cause pain, because it is possible to sever the hand with sam, which does not involve any pain. Therefore, the mazik does have to pay for the chiv of tzar as well. And some contemporary svarim, they suggest that this whole svara, the way Rashi explains why he needed a pasuk of tzar b'mokim nezek, would only be in a case where there was a limb which was severed. There you have a svara to say, like Rashi suggests, why the chayvel should have to pay additionally for the tzar. However, in a case where there was no limb which was severed, and even if there was a chavura which did involve nezek, and he is paying for the chiv of nezek, still over there would be pashut that he has to pay for the tzar. This would answer the stir in the two sugyas. That which the Gemara says that you need a chiddush for tzar b'mokim nezek, that's the afghan case where there was a limb which was severed. If there was no limb lost, then it's partial that there's a chiv of tzar b'mokim nezek. And Agamon daf peidah amud beis is talking about a case where there was no nezek b'chlal. And there's a chiddush in the opposite direction, and the Torah was mechayev the chiv of tzar, even though there is no payment of nezek b'chlal. Now we could perhaps say a similar pshat, and that is that even if we'll suggest that not only in the case where there's a loss of a limb, is there as far to say why it should be padr from the tzar, as Rashi explains, rather, any time there's a tashlumi nezek for an injury which will not heal, when there's a wound which will heal, there is no tashlumi nezek, you only pay the other four tashlumin. When there is a chiv nezek, because the person's value went down, the amount that he could be sold as an eved, for example, if there's a chaval which caused him to lose the use of a limb, or if it's a chaval which damaged an internal organ, the chayv we could say that even in these cases, we do have the svar of Rashi, and that is because once he's paying for the nezek, the damage caused to the person, there's a svar to say that that would give him the right to inflict the wound which caused that damage. So there also we have the svar of Rashi that maybe you should be potter from the chiv of tzar. But still, this is all in a case where there's nezek which will not heal. A chabur which does not have any nezek, there you don't have this svar of Rashi. And if so, what would be in the case where there's a chabur which does not involve nezek, but it does involve ripui? So here you would not have the svar of Rashi that once you're paying for the nezek, there would be a svar to potter from the chiv of tzar. If we take a look at Rashi on Peid Daud Amud Beis and Dibur Maschel Hochi Garcia and Rabbi Omer, Rashi over there explains that on the side that the word kfi in the pasuk has a mashmois of kfi de les b'chabura, then the word chabura in the pasuk would have a mashmois of a case where there's not only tzar alone, but there's also a chabura. And the lashon of Rashi is that in that case where there's a chabura ima, kiven de meshalim ripui mishum chabura, meshalim nami tzar. When Rashi describes a case where there's not only tzar, but it's tzar together with a chabura, Rashi doesn't say that now that there's a chabura, there's a chiv of tashlumei nezek, and along with the nezek, you would also pay for the tzar. Rather, Rashi uses an example where there is no nezek, there's a chiv of ripoy. That's the case for the Gemara's mavur, that there's a tzar to say that tzar alone, you would not be mechuyv. Only tzar together with chabura, meaning tzar together with the chiv of ripoy, that's when you have to pay for the tzar. Once you're paying for the ripoy, you would pay for the tzar as well. And the Pnei Yeshua points out already over here, why does Rashi talk about ripoy? The passages of the Gemara, when the Gemara talks about tzar shaloi b'mokim nezek and tzar b'mokim nezek, the word nezek l'cher means kipshuta, a chiv of tashlumei nezek.
And that's the svar of the Gemara, that there's a tzad to say that only when you're paying nezik, that's when you also pay for tzar. When you're not paying nezik, you do not pay tzar. Rashi, however, doesn't talk about a case of nezik, he talks about a case of ripui. And the Peneshua explains that the word chabura, which we're dashing in this pasuk, does not necessarily have a mashmois that there's a chiv of nezik, and even a case where there is no nezik, but there is ripui which is required, that case would also be referred to as a chabura, meaning to say that even in a case where there is no tashlumi nezik, all there is a tashlumi ripui, there also there would be a svar to say that only in that case there would be chiv of tzar. Mashenk, in a case where there is no nezek and no ripoy either, then there would be no chiv of tzar. In other words, there's a svar to say that when you're paying ripoy, you pay tzar along with it. Mashenk, if you're not paying ripoy, then you do not pay the chiv of tzar. And the pshat of this Rashi would be, based on what we were explaining, that when there is a chiv of nezek, then there's a svar the other way around. That once you're paying for the nezek, that would be a reason to patr from the tzar. The Gemara here in the Pedan on Mabez is not referring to nezek, rather referring to a case but there's no chabur, which Rashi explains there is no ripoy. If there's no chabur bechlal, then it's as far to say that you're not mochiv in the tzar. The tzar was not mechayiv one to pay for the tzar if there was no chabur inflicted. Once there is a chabura, which is defined by the necessity of ripoy, then there would be more of as far to say that you have to pay for the tzar. What comes out is that we're answering the kasha of Tosfos according to the sheet of Rashi, that when there is nezek, then there's as far to say that you're potter from the tzar. And we're explaining that nezek means whether there was a limb which was severed or any damage which was irreparable, that would be a svar to say that you're potter from the tzar, like the svar of Rashi ala Torah. The ones you paid for the limb or for the loss of usage of that limb, that would be a reason to say you're potter from the tzar, because you now have a right to inflict the wound which caused that damage. And that's the Joshua Petzah Tachas Potzah, that you're mechuyev for tzar even with mokem nezek. Here the Gemara in Peidan on Mabez is mevuah something else. They need a Joshua to tell us that there's a chiv of tzar even when there's no chabura. Chabura doesn't necessarily mean when there's nezek, when there's a requirement for ripa, that's also a chabura. When there's no chabur b'chlal, there's no nezik and no ripoy either, you would have thought that the Torah was not mechayev to pay for the chiv of tzar. For that, you need a separate Joshua, and this is machoikas between Rabbi and Ben Azai, whether there's a chiv of tzar, shloi b'makam nezik. Shloi b'makam nezik over here means something else. It doesn't mean that there is no nezik, rather, it means there's no wound b'chlal. It wasn't even a necessity for ripoy. This is machoikas between Rabbi and Ben Azai, whether the Torah was mechayev tzar, even in this case. So to summarize, we have two mahalchim, the mahalch of Rashi and the mahalch of Tosfos. According to both Mahalchim, when we use the word Nezek over here, Tzar Shloib Makam Nezek, we're not referring to the Chiv Tashlumin of Nezek. According to Tosfos, we're referring to a Reshem, a mark was left. That's the need in the Suga, are you Mochiv Mishum Tzar, even if there is no Reshem. And according to Rashi, we're explaining that the word Nezek also doesn't mean a Tashlumin Nezek, rather Nezek is another way of saying that there's a Chabur over here. Maybe only when there's a Chabur, that's when the Torah was Mechayiv Mishum Tzar. And what makes something into a chabura? So surely if there's nezik, that would be considered a chabura, but then already there's a svar to say the opposite, that once you're paying for the nezik, that would be a reason to patr from tzar. But there's another factor which could make something be considered a chabura, and that is if there's a requirement of ripoy, then it's partial that there is a chiv of tzar, you don't have either svara. There's no nezik over here to say that maybe once you're paying for the nezik, you should be patr from the tzar. And yet it's definitely a chabura, it's not like the case of tzar, which is not a chabura. There it's partial that you'll be mechuyev to pay the chiv of tzar. And the chiddush of the Gemara over here is that even if there's no chabura, there's no nezik and there's no ripo, he's still the Torah's mechayev to pay for the tzar. I'll just mention one more point over here. If one takes a look at Rashi al Torah on the word chabura in Parshas Mishpatim, Rashi translates chabura as a makah shadam nitzer bo ve'ena yoytze elo shemadim habosar kenegdoi. Chabura is a type of wound where there's no blood which comes out, but does cause redness under the skin. And the chiddush would seem to fit better with the sheet of Tosfos. The way Tosfos understands the Chavav and Beis, that Asik, when we talk about Tzar Shloib Makam Nezek, Nezek means that there's a Reshem, and Shloib Makam Nezek means that there's no Reshem. This Pshat of Tosfos would seem to be fit well with the Rashi al Torah, that the Mashmois of the word Chabura means that there is a Reshem. Mashenkin, according to the way Rashi understands in Asugya, Chabura is not necessarily if there's a Reshem or not, Chabura is something which requires Ripui, as Rashi says. This does not seem to fit so well with Rashi al Torah. Now, at the end of this piece of the Gemara, after the Gemara brought the Inami, the Pshat Machlokes Rebbe and Ben Azai is that everyone's maskim that kfiya would have a connotation of either with a chabur or without a chabura. And the Machlokes is whether you dan a klal prat to amru chakim zemizeh. The sheet of Rebbe is ein danim, and therefore we're left with a mashmais that kfiya would include both isba chabura and lesba chabura. And the Gemara finishes off, and the Gemara asks, if so, chabura le Rebbe lamali, what is the pasuk of chabura coming to teach us according to the sheet of Rebbe? Le damim yaseirim. Now over here we have Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi explains the Dhamma Yisrael means that if it would only have said the Pasuk of Kviya Tachas Kviya and not said the Pasuk of Chabur Tachas Chabura, one would have thought that if one inflicts a burn on his friend, so even if there is a Chabura, which would mean either Nezek or Ripoy as we saw, then you would only have to pay for the Kviya, for the Tzar, and not for the Chabura. For that, you need a Pasuk of Chabur Tachas Chabur to tell us that if there is a Chabur as well, he has to pay for that also. In other words, it would have been a Tzad to say that you only pay for the Tzar and not for the Nezek. Now, Toysov here on Dibur Maskal Adam Yusayim, he argues on Rashi. He asks, what would be the Tzad to say that if you're paying for the Tzar, that you're pater for the Chiv of Nezek or the Chiv of Ripoy? And furthermore, Toysov asks, B'shem the Ri, that Tzar B'mokam Nezek Nafklam Mipetza Tachas Potza. And Mashalim Adur Basri, he explains that what Toysov means to ask on Rashi is, even though Beikar the Gemara is coming to make that drasha of Petza Tachas Potza, to say that if you're paying Nezek, you still have to pay for Tzar, but from there also you understand that paying Tzar does not pater from Nezek. Mashalim of that Gemara is that you have to pay for both. So according to Rashi, what is the Tzar over here to say that if you're paying for Tzar, you should be pater from paying from Nezek? These are the kashas that the Ri asks on Rashi, and because of these kashas, the Ri has a different pshat in the Gemara. Now before we say the Ri's pshat, perhaps we could suggest B'das Rashi that Eina Chanami B'derech Chalitz Poshet, that the Chiv of Tzar will not pater from Nezek. Still, we could have thought that it is Exeris HaKosov over here, Kviya Tachas Kviya, since the Gemara understands B'das Rebbe that Kviya has a connotation of whether there's a Chabura or there's no Chabura. Here the Torah is telling us that when one inflicts a Kviya, all he's Mechuyif to pay is the Chiv of Tzar, and he's not Mechuyif to pay for Nezek. Eina Chanami, all other types of wounds, it would be Poshet that paying for the Tzar does not pater from Nezek. Here it would be Exeris HaKosov that burns are different. Hakapam, the Ri argues on Rashi, and the pshat that the Ri says is, as the word Chabur, according to Rebbe, is coming to tell us, L'dam Yaseirim, that means to say that Torah is Mechayiv more of a Chiv of Tzar when there's a Reishim than in the case when there's no Reishim. This fits well with the Sheet of Taisan, Chavavim, and Beis, which we saw, that the word Chabur has a connotation of where there's a Reishim, and that's what Rebbe is saying over here. The Torah added the words Chabur, Tachas, Chabur to tell us that in the case where there's a Reishim, there's a greater Chiv. Now, what exactly does Taisan mean over here? What are you paying for extra when there is a Reishim? So the Lashon of the Ri is, Shemeshalim b'tzar sheyesh by Reishim, yoyser mi b'tzar she'ein by Reishim, af bi she'ein b'tzar b'zeh, yoyser mi b'zeh, mishalim yoyser l'fi she'mizganeh machmas ha'Reishim. What you're paying for extra is for the gnai that the Reishim causes. And the Mashmash of Tzais is that this is included in the Chiv of Tzar. The Chiv of Tzar is greater when there is a Reishim than when there's no Reishim. And Taisa says, even though there is no more actual pain, but still, since the fact that it causes a gnai, that's the reason to pay more for the Chiv of Tzar. Now, this obviously needs an explanation. And the Taisa's Yontov over here on the Mishnayis, he asks Akash, he says, if anything, this should be included in the Chiv of Beishas, not the Chiv of Tzar. The fact that there's a Reishim over here and that causes a gnai, that would go into the category of Beishas. Taisa's Mashma, this goes into the category of Tzar. Now, as far as this Kash, in the Sefer Daiki Dovid, he says the Teretz, he says, this will not be included in Beishas. Taisa is not referring to the fact that other people see the wound. That would be included in Baishas. Taisa means even in a case where the wound is in a place on the guf which is hidden, other people don't see it, rather he himself is miskana when he sees it, that's something which causes the person more tsar. It would seem that this is a psychological tsar. As Taisa himself says, you have to pay more for tsar to ispiration than tsar to less piration, af bish ein mitzar bezeh yosim mi bezeh, which means there isn't more physical pain, still then is you have to pay more for the tzar to ispiration lefishim misgane, which means that it bothers him himself when he sees it, and that's included in the chiv of tzar. Now the Sefer Beis Aaron, he says a similar mahalach, and he says a yisoid that the chiv of baishas is only the baishas which is incurred at the time of the actual chavola. The person is embarrassed if other people saw that he was hit, that's the chiv of baishas. However, baishas later on, for example, one who became a kiteya, he's missing a limb, and that involves embarrassment for anyone who sees him later. That's not included in Baishas. And Taisa is saying over here that it would be included in the Chiv of Tzar. Ritzishem will get back to this at a later point to discuss what exactly is included in the Chiv of Baishas. Rakapam, this is the machlokes between Rashi and the Ri, what the Gemara means over here, Ladom and Misirim. Now, continue on to the next Gemara. The Gemara discusses Tzar b'mokam Nezek heichi shaminon. How do we make a Shuma for the Chiv of Tzar b'mokam Nezek? In the Maskanas, the Gemara says, if, for example, one person was Keteh Gatcho Chaveroi, so you have to evaluate how much a person would pay if his Yad was Mucht of the Malchus, was already decreed by the Melech that his hand would be severed with a Sayif, how much would this person be willing to pay that it should be done with Sam instead of with a Sayif? Now the Rashash points out the Rashi over here in Dibur Maskal Bein Sam Le Sayif, Rashi says that if it's done with Sam, there's no Tzar involved at all. He says, Ein Shom Tzar Klal. And the Rashash points out the Rashi other places is mashma otherwise. Rashi al Taira, we mentioned this Rashi previously in this year. Rashi Mishpatim Perichof Aleph Pasuk Chafei on the words Pezatachas Potza, which tells us that you have to pay for Tzar even with Mokim Nezek. And Rashi over there explains that even though the chayvel already cut off his hand and he paid for the nezik of the hand, still he has to pay for tsar because he could have done it with sam. And then Lashon Rashi is that with sam there's not tsar kol kach. Mashmeis of that Rashi is that there is a minimal amount of tsar, as opposed to Rashi by us, which is mashma that there is no tsar bechlal when it's done with sam. The Rashi brings another Rashi in Davdal Amar Beis Dira Maschol Tsar, which also says that when it's done with sam, lesli tsar kulei hai, there isn't that much tsar, but some tsar there is. And the Rashi says that these Rashis, the Rashi in Davdalad and the Rashi al Torah, are mashma, but the chiv of tsar only requires him to pay for the difference between the amount of tsar that he had now that his hand was severed with the saif, and the amount of tsar that he would have had it been done with sam. And the Rashi is bothered, why should he only have to pay that amount? The chiv, he should have to pay the full tsar. This amount is not the full amount of tsar which he caused, it's only the difference between sam and saif. And the chiv, since he only paid nezik, he didn't pay anything beyond that, the chiv of tsar should be mechayef him to pay for all of the pain which he caused. And therefore the Rashi says that the pashas would be like Rashi Bayos, that by sam there is no pain bechlal, and therefore now that he's paying for the pain which was caused by the saif, that's the full tsar, that's all of the pain which he caused him. However, in the Sefer Aliyos HaShachar, he says, the chiv, we could understand the Rashi in Davdaur and the Rashi al Taira, based on the explanation that Rashi al Taira gives, what is the reason why you would think that there is no chiv of tsar bechlal when he's paying for the nezek? The pshat would be because once he's paying for his hand, so that would give him a right to sever the hand. Rashi over there explains that we tell the chayvel that in chinami you have the right to take the hand, but you didn't have to do it with a saif, you could have done it with a sam. If that svar of Rashi is true, that in chinami there is such a taina that once one paid for the nezek, he has a right to sever the hand, then in chinami the only pain that he would have to pay for is the difference between sam and saif. He wouldn't have to pay the full amount of pain. Since even if the hand would have been taken off with sam, there would have been some pain, so the only extra tsar which he's responsible for is the difference between sam and saif. That's what Rashi says, he only has to pay that difference. So we can't understand what Rashi and Davdaon and Rashi al-Tara mean, however we are still left with the steer that Rashi Bayah says that when it's done with sam, there is no pain bechlal. Now I'll discuss another point over here. This Gemara is talking about a case of tsar b'mokim nezek. How do you make the shuma if the person's hand was severed, so you're already paying for the nezek? How do you evaluate the tsar? And that the Gemara comes out with maskono. They don't evaluate how much the person would be willing to get paid in order to have the tsar, rather how much he would be willing to pay in order to save himself from the tsar. If his hand was already mukht of the malchus, how much he would be willing to pay that it should be severed with sam instead of with saif. However, what about in a case where there was no nezek? For example, the case of Ikoa Tziparnoi, as the Mishnah says, all there was tsar. How do you evaluate in that case? So the Rosh over here brings two shittos. The first shittah holds that in this case, where there's no nezek, all there is tsar, here the only way to evaluate would be how much would the person be willing to accept in order to get this tsar. Here you cannot make the shuma the other way around, how much he would be willing to save himself from the tsar. And the Rosh is not so clear over here, what does he mean? Why is it not possible to make the shuma the other way? In the Pilpul HaRifta in Ois Daud, he explains to the Rosh, he says the Rosh means to say, the Bishma in a case where there was Nezek, for example, if his hand was severed, so we can make the shuma, we could say that in a case where the Melech was supposed to sever his hand, and the Melech would have done it with Saif, how much this person would be willing to pay that it should be done with Sam? The Melech would be willing to accept that payment and save him, spare him the pain. That's how we make the Shuma for the Tsar. However, in this case, where there is no Nezik, all there is Tsar, here there's no way to make this evaluation, because if the Melech was going to say that this person should have pain, so obviously paying is not going to help, so there's no way to evaluate how much a person would be willing to pay to save himself from Tsar which he was supposed to have gotten. This would seem to still be difficult to understand. Why can't we say the case is that the Melech did give a decree that he's supposed to have this pain, yet still the Melech would be willing to accept payment instead? How much would a person be willing to pay the Melech to save himself from that tsar? Rakhapam, this is the first sheet of the Rosh, that by tsar shloim makam nezek, here the way to make the Shuma is, how much the person would be willing to accept payment in order to get the tsar, and not the other way around, how much he would be willing to pay to save himself from the tsar. As we see in the Sugya, this is a much larger amount. The Derakhal person would not be willing to take money to get tsar, unless he's offered a much greater amount of money. Whereas if the other way around, if he's paying money to save himself from the tsar, which he was supposed to have gotten, there the payment is not going to be as much. Kapanim, this is what the Rosh holds, and in this case, the chayv will have to pay the greater amount, the amount that a person will be willing to accept in order for him to get tsar, which he would not have gotten otherwise. Now the Rosh then brings a second sheet, which argues and holds that even in this case of tash lo b'makam nezek, there also the way you make the shuma is how much the person is willing to pay to save himself from tsar, which he would have gotten otherwise. And the Rosh points out that these two pshatim would make a difference how to read the Gemara over here. But the Gemara asks the kasha, "Hay rotze litol liten mi boile." We shouldn't say "kam adam rotze litol." Rather, we should say "kam adam rotze liten." According to the first Mahach, the Rosh says this kasha will be on the member of Shmuel. Shmuel said this loshen "kam adam rotze litol lektoya lo yodoy." And then that the Gemara says it shouldn't say "litol," rather it should say "liten," because we're not talking about a person accepting money, rather how much money he would pay to save himself from tsar. However, according to the second Pshat, the Rosh says this Gemara's kasha "hay rotze litol liten mibayle" is a kasha not only on Shmuel but also on the loshen of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah describes the chiv of tsar, it says "kam adam rotze litol liyos mitzar kach." The Mishnah is talking about a case of tsar shelo b'makom nezek, and according to the first Pshat of the Rosh, the Gemara would not have asked on the Lashon of the Mishnah that when it says Litol, it should have said Litain, because in the case of the Mishnah, which is Tzar Shaloi B'Makam Nezek, then it's true that the way we make the evaluation is how much a person would be willing to accept in order for him to get the Tzar. Only on Shmuel the Gemara can ask that since Shmuel is talking about a case of Tzar B'Makam Nezek, then we make the evaluation not how much a person would be willing to receive, rather how much he would be willing to pay to save himself from the Tzar which he would have gotten. However, according to the second Mahach, the Gemara could be explained that we're asking both on the Lashon of Shmuel and on the Lashon of the Mishnah, that in both cases it shouldn't have said Litol, rather it should have said Litain. Even in the case of the Mishnah, which is talking about Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek, there also the din is we don't make the evaluation how much he would be willing to accept, rather how much he would be willing to pay to save himself for the Tzar. Now we should point out that the Lashon of the Rambam is also Mashma, like the first sheet of the Rosh, that there's a chilik how to evaluate Tzar B'Makom Nezek and how to evaluate Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek. Rama Perek Beis Hochas Chayv V'Mazik Halacha Tes, he describes how do we evaluate the Tzar, and he says, Akol Ufi Anizik, Yesh Adam Shurach V'Onuk B'Yoyser U'Bal Momen V'Ilu Nosin Le'Momen Harbe Lohayi Mitzar Ma'at. There are some people who even if you pay them a lot of money, they would not be willing to accept even a little bit amount of Tzar. Yesh Adam Shum Omel V'Chozok V'Oni U'Pnei Zuz Echor Mitzar Tzar Harbe, he'd be willing even for a small amount of money to have a great amount of Tzar. So here the Rambam is clearly talking about how much a person would be willing to accept in order for tzar to be done to him. The next halacha, halacha yud, the Rambam says, "Ketzad Masharin Hatzar B'Mokam Shechostri Eiver." In a case where there was nezek, if it was chostri eiver, how do you evaluate the tzar in that case? Then the Rambam says, like the maskana of our Gemara, that we evaluate how much a person would be willing to pay if the melech was already gozer on him that he should lose his hand, and it would have been done b'saif. How much he would pay that it should be done b'sam instead? The amount of that difference, that's how much the chayv has to pay for the chiv of tzar. So we clearly see in this halacha, halacha yud, where he's talking about tzar b'makom nezek, here the Rambam says to make the evaluation, like it says in Eretz Sugya, not how much he would be willing to accept in order for him to get the tzar, rather how much he would pay in order to save himself from the tzar. And this is different than the Rambam says in halacha tes, where he's talking about a case of tzar shaloi b'makom nezek. There the evaluation the Rambam says is how much he would be willing to accept in order for him to get the tzar. And we have to understand what is the svar to mechay between these two cases. The only story we saw was that which the Rosh brings. He says it's not really shaykh to make a shuma in a case of Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek, as the Papula Charifta explained. However, as he asked, why does it seem difficult to make such a shuma? Why can't we say in a case where a person already was decreed that he was supposed to get a certain amount of Tzar, yet he does have the ability to pay and be paid to himself from that Tzar, how much would he be willing to pay? Now the Shittu Mekubetis in the beginning of the Perek, on the Pegil Monbeis, he quotes B'Shem Rabbeinu Yonason, and he addresses this point. He says the Mishnah, which is talking about a case of Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek, and the Mishnah of this says the Lashon, Kama Adam Kiyetze Beze Roitze Litoil Liyos Mitzar Kach. The Mishnah uses the Lashon of Litoil and not a Lashon of Litain. There it means Kepshutoi, because this is exactly how we make the valuation, how much he would be willing to accept in order for one to give him that Tzar. He says that even though the Gemara does say differently, that's Tafka by Tzar B'Makom Nezek, there you make the evaluation different. And he explains the Pshat is, because since there's a tremendous amount of pain when one loses a limb, for such great tzar, a person would not be willing to suffer, even if he's paying a tremendous amount of money. Therefore, we don't possibly make the shuma evaluation in that way, how much he would be willing to accept to get such tzar. However, in the case of the Mishnah, where it's tzar shelo b'makom nezek, it's a much smaller amount of tzar, and there a person would be willing to get paid in order to be inflicted with such pain. Therefore, we could make the evaluation in that way, and that way which Gemara describes for a case of tzar b'makom nezek. According to this Rabbeinu Yonason, the Ikar Chilik would be how much pain it is losing a limb, which is a great amount of pain. There we cannot possibly make the Shuma the other way around, how much a person would be willing to accept. There the only way to make the Shuma would be how much he would be willing to pay to save himself from that Tzar. So the Ikar Chilik is the amount of pain. The way he understands the Sugya, what defines something as a major pain and what defines something as a minor pain, is that if it's Tzar B'Makom Nezek, that's always considered a major pain, and Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek is considered a minor pain, therefore the Shuma is done differently. Now continue on, further down the Amud, the Gemara brings the memory of Rabbi Shmuel, The pasuk says, "V'rapa yirapa," and he darshins, "Mikan shenitin reshus l'roifei l'rapais." And as we'll see, there are a number of mahacham nushenim. What exactly is he coming to tell us? What is the chiddush? Why would one have thought that one cannot go to a doctor to get healed? So Rashi over here says, "Dibur maschal nitin reshus l'roifim l'rapais." One would have thought that if a doctor heals a person, he's going against the will of Hashem. Hashem's intentions were that this person should suffer from his wound, and the doctor goes ahead and heals him. One would have thought that would be a problem. He's going against the rutzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, we have this drush of a rabbi Yerapid to tell us that a doctor can't heal a person. Now, Toys over here, in Dibur Maschal, Shenit Nereshus, the rate for the rabbi, he points out that the Torah uses a double lashon, Verapa Yerapi. And the chayr from one time alone, it would be enough to tell us that a roifei has reshus to be merape. The pasuk should have just said virapoi. And that takes answers, and he says that there's an added chiddush, because this pasuk is actually talking about a case where there was a makah bidei odom, a person went and was chayvo b'chaveroi. Over there, it's more mistaken to say that the roifei has reshus to heal the person. However, by a chayli bidei shamayim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the person sick, it wasn't a wound which a person inflicted on him, then you would think that a roifei does not have reshus to be merape the person. As he says, it's Kesayser Gzeirah Samelech, he's going against the Gzeirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, we have the double lashon to tell us that even in this case, by Chayla B'dei Shemaim, it's mutter for a doctor to heal. And Rashi does not make this point. Rashi doesn't say there's a double lashon, one for the case of Makab the Adam, one for the case of Makab B'dei Shemaim. And it would seem that Rashi is telling us that even in the case of the Pashtar Dikra, this case of Chayla B'chaveroi, we would have thought to say, Rachmani Machi V'iyu Masi, is a great lesson in Amuna that even though a person got hit by his friend, he has to take it as if a Kadosh Baruch Hu intended for him to get hit, and therefore there would have been a half minute to say that he can't even go to a doctor because a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted that this person should suffer from his wound. Now we have a pasuk to say that a person can go to a doctor. According to Rashi, there'll be no chilek whether it was a makab de Adam or makab de Shemayim. Either way, it was intended by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we would have had the same half minute that he should not be able to go to the doctor. For that, we have the pasuk of Rabbi Yerapid to tell us that a doctor can't heal him. Now in the Sefer Teres Chaim over here, he quotes the Tosis who was bothered by the double Lashon Verapa Yerapi, and he says he could say a similar teretz to that which Tosis says, that the double Lashon is for two different types of refuah. However, Tosis says there's a chilek between Makab de Adam and Makab de Shemaim. The Teres Chaim says we could differentiate between a Makab which is superficial and a Makab which is internal. And he quotes in Evan Ezra on this pasuk, Parashas Mishpatim Perek Chafal, pasuk Yutes, Evan Ezra over there says that when the Torah says Verapa Yerapi, the Torah is giving reshus for a roifi to heal. However, he says, this is his lashon, Nosan reshus l'roifim l'rape hamakos v'haptoim sheyiru b'b'chutz. Rakol cholishu b'fnim b'guf b'yad Hashem l'rapaisai. The heter for a roifi to heal is only something which is external. Any chayli which is internal, that's b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu to b'rape him and not b'yad the doctor. And he's coming because the pasuk of the Torah is talking about a case where a person was chayvav b'chavera, he inflicted an external wound. That's where the Torah gives a shus for a roifi to be merape. Hashem getting anything which is bifnim. He goes on, he brings raya, that the din is that a roifi is not supposed to heal him. That's b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Teres Chaim says that we could suggest otherwise. Enechnami, the Pashtun, the Kroz, is talking about a case of a wound which is superficial. However, the double lashon, v'rape yirape, which Taisa was also bothered by, Taisa said one pshat, but the Teres Chaim says we could say different. The pasuk has come to be marred that even something which is internal, a doctor also has permission to heal as well. There's another mahalach over here which the Tor brings in Yerideya. In Yerideya, Simon Shin Lamed Vav, that's where he talks about Inani Rufua, and he quotes over there a Ramban. This is in the Ramban Sefer called Torah Sa'odom in Shar HaSakana. The Ramban over there brings this member of Yishmael, Mikan Shinit and Rashus, the Reifei, the Rabbis. The Ramban says, Pirush, Shema Yemer HaReifei, Mali Bitsar Hazeh, Shema Etev, Nimseisi Hayreg, Nefashes Beshegi. Why do I have to get involved? I'm taking a risk. I might try to heal the person, but end up killing them b'shegig. I'd rather not enter this b'chlal. And therefore the pasuk says, "V'rapa yirapa mikan shenit nereshus l'roif for the rapa." He should heal a person, even though he may end up doing harm instead of doing good. And the Ramban then continues that he quotes a Tosefta which says that if a roifei who's an uman, he's a professional doctor, and while treating a person, he ended up killing him b'shegig, the din is he has to go to galus. And the Ramban is marich over there. How can we say that he gets an einish? If the Torah told him that he should try to heal the person, even though he was taking a risk, how could he end up getting punished for what he did? But Al-Kapanim, the Rabban of this says clearly that the Chiddush of Rabbi Shmuel is to tell us that a doctor should heal a person despite the fact that he may end up causing more harm. And the Rabban adds over there that even though the Lashon is that there's Rishus for a Reifer to be Merapeh, The truth is, the Ramban says it's really a mitzvah. It's included in the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, and he says that even though a doctor may be scared that he may end up having to go to Golos if he calls a person b'shegeg, this should not be a cause for him to refrain from healing someone. He should still be mekayim this mitzvah, despite his own risk. And the Tshuva's Binyan Tzion and Simin Kuf Yud Aleph, this is from the Aruch Lander, he was asked a shayla about a chayl who was mesukin, and all doctors already gave up hope on him. And one doctor, a yid, he came along and he said he's going to try to do a certain type of refuah, which may heal the person, yet on the other hand, if it fails, it will end up causing the person to die sooner than he would have died otherwise. And the Binyan Tzion Paskin said he can't do this refuah, it based this on the Ramban, mikan shenit nashus l'rei for the rabbis. The Chiddush is that even though he may end up causing harm, still the Torah says that the doctor should try to heal the person. So to over here, the Aruch Lander Paskins, the doctor should try to heal him, even though this may end up causing his death. Now, I've just mentioned that in the Mincha Shleimer of Shleimer Zalman Urbach, in the older printing, this is in Chelik Beis, Simen Pei Beis, at the bottom, Ha'ar on the bottom. For some reason, in the new printing, this line was left out, but Al-Kubhanim, he brings, B'Shem the Moruk Tzio, he says a person should not put himself into a sakana by going through a surgery, which if it fails, will cause him to die right away. And Shlomo Zalman says, L'cher, this would be mashra from Tesis over here in Ashligah as well. Because Tesis was bothered by why do you need a double lashon v'rapa yirapa. L'cher, he should have said, the chiddush is that even in the case where the refua may end up being a sakana to the person, even over there there's a reshus for the refa to be mirapa. And the fact that Tesis does not say this, mashma says that Tesis holds that this is not a heter for a doctor to be mirapa a person if he knows that it may end up being a sakana. Now obviously this is a complex area in halacha, and each case has to be judged individually by a rav. Now we'll continue on. Towards the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara brings a number of shailus as far as this din of ripui. For example, in a case where the mazik says, Asichana, I myself will heal you. Or in a case where he says, Maisina asi de mogin b'mogin, I'll bring a doctor which will be merapa you for free. Or in a case where he says, Maisina lach asi rechika, I'll bring you a doctor from far away. And the Gemara brings that in each one of these cases, there's a valid taina, why the nechba could say, I don't want the ripui to be done in this way. Now there's a fundamental shaila which a number of achayim discuss, and that is how to understand the ikur chiyuv of ripui. Reb Moshe Feinstein in the Divrei Moshe Simen Nun Zayin, he's ma'arich about this. The Chazanish discusses this as well in Baba Kama Simen Vav Sifkat and Gimel, and Reb Ochanan in the Kibbutz Shiurim and Ksubis Oisur Reishur Ches. They all have a similar shaila, and that is, what is the etzim chiyuv of ripui? Is the pshat that it's a chiyuv mamon, just like you have to pay for the nezek, for the sheves? This is a chiyuv tashlui mamon. So too, the ripui also, you have to pay a chiv mamin. And the reason why the Torah is mechayv you with this chiv is because since the nechba is going to have to spend money to get healed by a doctor, the Torah is mechayv the chayvel to pay for these expenses. According to this Torah, it's a chiv mamin which was chal at the time of the chavala, along with the other four chiv which were chal at that time. The second Torah would be that it's not the pshat that it's a chiv mamin which is chal. Perhaps this will not be included in the regular dinei hezek, because it could be considered a grama, the fact that the nechba will have to spend money to get healed by a doctor, that would not be included in the regular dinei tashlumei nezek. And here the Torah is mechal shenuchiyev, that the chayvel has to make sure that the nechba gets healed. So it's not that it's chal achiv mamin, rather what's chal is he has to make sure that everything possibly can be done in order for the nechba to get treated by a doctor. And since that b'derech klal costs money to pay the doctor, the chayvel is the one who's going to have to pay those expenses. The most simple nafkamin would be, and this Rabbi Chanan writes in Ksubis, Ois Reishud Ches, what happens in a case where after the Chavala happened, the Nechba died from an unrelated cause. Before he got a chance to get medical treatment for his Chavala, he died. And the question would be, does the Chavala still have to pay for the Chiv of Ripui? According to the first side, it's a Chiv Mamon which is Chal at the time of the Chavala. The Chavala becomes Mechiv to pay money for the amount that we expected, that we expect the medical bills to be. Therefore, even if Lamaisi does not get medical treatment, still the Chiv was Chal, and the Chayv will have to pay money to the Yarshim. According to the second side, it was never Chal a Chiv Mamin. It's just that the Chayv has to make sure that the Nechba gets treated, and the Chayv has to pay for that treatment. In this case, where he never ended up getting treated, so the Chayv doesn't have to pay anything for the Chiv of Ripui. And Rabbi Chana brings the right to this Shaila from a Gemara Gittin Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara over there says, HaKoteya Yan Avdei Shochaveroi, if one severs the hand of the Eved of his friend, so the Gemara over there is Mavur, that the Chiv of Nezek and Sheves, that definitely goes to the Odin, the owner of the Eved Kenani. Toys over there get an adds, and Huadin, the Baishas and the Tsar, that also goes to the Odin. However, the Gemara says, as far as the Chiv of Ripoy, that does not go to the Odin. The Gemara over there says, that since this money, the Chiv of Ripoy, is intended for the Nechbal to get healed, so this money does not go to the Odin, it goes to the Eved, and with that he heals himself, he pays the money to the doctor. And Rabbi Chanan asks, what difference does it make that this money is intended for the person to heal themselves? As soon as the Eved receives the money, it automatically goes to the Odin, so why is this different? Why does the Odin not take this money as well? And from here Rabbi Chanan proves, like the second side of the Chakir we mentioned before, that the Chiv of Ripa is not a Chiv Mominus. It's different than the other four Tashlumin. The whole Chiv is for the Chayvah to make sure that the Nechbal gets healed. And therefore, this is not a Chiv Tashlumin, which the Odin can take away when the Eved gets the money. The whole Chiv, which was Chal, is that the Chayvah has to make sure that the Nechbal gets healed by a doctor. So it's not that he's giving him money so that the Eved can then use the money to pay the Reifei. And the Chayvah is one who has to make sure that the Eved gets healed. Therefore, on this money, we don't say much like Kana Eved, Kana Rabbi. The Odin cannot take away this money from the Eved. And based on this, Rabbi Chanan says, since we see like the second side, that the Chiv, which is Chal, is not a Chiv Mamin, but it's a Chiv to make sure to get healed, and therefore in the case where the Nechbal died before he had a chance to go to the doctor, the Chayv will not be Mechayv to pay any Dmei Ripui. Just mentioned another Nafkamina, which was brought in the Sefer Birchas Avram over here, he also discusses this Chakira, and he says the Nafkamina will be in the case where the Nechbal owes money to the Chayv for a different reason, and the Nechbal does not have any money for him to pay back this Chayv. So now when the Chayvel injures him, so as far as the Chiv of Nezek and Sheves, that the Chayvel has the right to hold that back, because the Nechbal owes him money for a different reason. However, what about the Chiv of Ripoy? Here there would be Nafkamina. If it's a Chiv Momen which is Chal, so since the Nechbal owes money to the Chayvel, so the Chayvel could retain that money as a payment for the money which the Nechbal owes to the Chayvel. If, however, it's not a Chiv Momen which is Chal, then it's a responsibility for the Chayvel to make sure that the Nechbal gets treated. If so, even in this case, the Nechbal owes money to the Chayvah for a different reason, we're not going to say that the Chayvahs cancel each other out, rather the Chayvah will still have to make sure that the Nechbal gets treated, he'll have to pay for the Ripui. HaKopam, to get back to our sugya, many Achreinim say, Rav Shmuel Rozovsky in his Shirim and Gittin, as well as in the Divrei Smosha over here, as we mentioned before, they say that from our sugya would be a raya l'chayr to the tzad, that it's not a Chiv Mamon which is Chal, rather what was Chal is a responsibility for the Chayvah to make sure that the Nechbal gets treated. And that is because the Gemara had a half minute to say that the Chayvah could say, I myself will treat you, or that I'll bring a doctor which is free, or I'll bring a doctor from a far distance. If Uzchal was a Chiv Mamin, then he has to just pay that money to the Nechbal, and Nechbal will decide how to use it and which doctor to bring. There definitely be no tzad to say that the Chayvah could say, I myself will treat you, or I'll bring a doctor to treat you for free. The Chiv Mamin was already Chal. The Chiv Mamin would be according to the amount that's expected, but Derech Chal, this is the amount that would be required for the medical treatment. Therefore, even if the Chayvah could come up with an idea how to save the money by treating him himself or by bringing a doctor for free, that would make no difference. The Chiv Mamon was already Chal for the normal amount of medical expenses according to this wound. From here, we mashma the Chiv is to actually be merapa him, and therefore there would be a half minute to say that if the Chayvah himself could do the Ripoy, then he wouldn't have to pay any money to the Nechbal, and only because there's a specific time that the Nechbal could say to him, Damnis alai ka'aryei arvo. If the Chayvah wants to bring a doctor for free, there's a specific taina that a doctor which treats for free is not worth anything. And if the Chayvah wants to bring a doctor from a great distance, there also, the only reason why the Nechbal could refuse his doctor is because he has a valid taina, Asi Rechika Eina Avira. According to this, it would come out that Be'etzim, the Chayvah does have a right to choose which doctor he wants to send to the Nechbal, as long as he's not sending a doctor which is doing it for free, or a doctor which is coming from a great distance. And the Yamshir Shem over here adds that Hu Adin, the same thing would also apply if the Chayvah wants to bring a doctor who's going to charge a price which is lower than the normal doctor fees, then also that would be included. The Nechbal will be able to say, I don't want such a doctor, he's not going to do a good job. But HaKopayim, in a case where the Nechbal does not have one of these tainas mentioned over here in the Gemara, then the Chayvah then will be that the Chayvah can choose whichever doctor he wants, because Be'etzim the Chiv is not a Chiv Mamonis, rather it's a Chiv for the Chayvah to make sure that the Nechbal gets healed. Now, if we continue on a few more lines of the Gemara, Gemara has a case where the Nechbal comes forward and he says, Havli lididi v'ano misenei nafshoi. He tells the Chayvah, instead of sending me a doctor, give me the money, and I'll make sure to take care of myself. Over there, the Gemara says, the Chayvah could tell him, Pashata b'nafshecha v'shechata minoi tvei. I'm afraid that you're not going to really use the money well, you're not going to heal yourself, and then you're going to end up having to come back to me to get more money. Now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says that if the Nechbal tells the Chayvel, Kotzi Mikatz, let's make an evaluation, how much is a reasonable amount for the medical bills to cost, and you'll pay me that, and it won't come back to you to be Tevea anymore. Still the Gemara says, the Chayva could tell back to Nechmal, Koshkein debashatu benafshach v'karol yishar hamazik. I don't want that you eventually will not get better, and then people will refer to me as a Shar Mazik. Therefore, the Nechmal does not have a schus to be tever the money, rather the Chayva pays it directly to the doctor. And here again, we have to discuss, according to which one of the two tzadim that we mentioned previously, does this Gemara seem to fit better? On one hand, some contemporary Svam say that this again is a raya that the Chiv which is Chal is not a Chiv Domim, it's not a Chiv to pay money, because if it was, then the Nechma will have a right to be Tever the money, and the fact that the Chiv can tell him, I'm afraid you're not going to use the money properly to heal yourself, and people are going to call me a Shar Mazik, that would not make a difference. If the Mice that which was Chal was a Chiv Mominus, the Nechma will have a right to be Tever that money. Rather, Pshat is again like the other side, that the Chiv which was Chal is not a Chiv Mamin, rather it's a Chiv to heal the Nechbal. Therefore, the Chayva could tell him, I'm not giving you the money, I'm sending a doctor to treat you. However, the Chaznish seems to understand that from this Gemara will be mashma like the other tzad. The Chaznish is in Baba Kama, Simavav, Sifkat, and Gimel. He has an interesting discussion over there, but every time a person is Mazik his friend, the Mazik breaks someone else's item, and the Mazik says, instead of me paying you, give me the item and I myself will fix it. Does the Mazik have a right to say that I'll fix it instead of paying you? Or does the Nizik have a right to say, no, I want you to pay me dafka money, and I'll decide how I want to spend the money? The Nizik could decide to fix it or to replace the item, or he could use the money for something else entirely. There's a general shayla by every Tashlumei Nezik how exactly it works. And the Chaznish brings rayas that the Nizik has a right to be Tavei Dafka the money. The Mazik cannot say, I'll fix the item for you. And the Chaznish over there mentions Arsugya. He says, in Arsugya we see that there's a specific Svara why the Chayva could say, I don't want to pay you money, rather I want to send the doctor to heal you. Because if I give you money, maybe you're not going to heal yourself properly, and people are going to call me the Shar HaMazik. And Chaznish says that if we'll understand by every Chiv Nezek, the Mazik always has a right to fix the item himself instead of paying money, so why over here do we have to come up with a new Svara, why the Mazik could say that I don't want to pay you money, I'm afraid you're not going to use it properly? Let the Mazik use the Svara that he always could use. The same way if he breaks an item, he could say, I myself will fix it instead of paying you money. He'd also let him say, instead of giving you the money for the Ripoy, I'll send the doctor and I'll heal you. From here the Chaznish proves that the Bederech Chal, the din is that the Nizik does have a right to Tavei Dafka money. Therefore you would have thought in this case also you could tell the Mazik, give me the money and I'll decide how to use it, I'll heal myself. And the only reason why you cannot say this is because there's a specific svar over here, Pashat B'Nafshecha V'Karo Li Shar HaMazik. Now the Chaznish clearly understood that the Chi of Ripoy over here is a Chi of Mammon al Derech other types of Mazik, and therefore there's a Shak Levatai over here where the Nizik could say, give me the money instead. The Pshat is Lecher, the Chaznish understood that if the Chiv which was Chal was a Chiv to be more rapid than Nechbal, then it would be partial that Nechbal definitely does not have a time to say, give me the money. The whole Chiv which is Chal is that the Chiv has to make sure that Nechbal gets healed, so the Chiv brings the doctor and he pays the doctor. There will be no tzad that the Nechbal could be Tevea money. Therefore, Akarach is Mucha, the Chiv which was Chal is a Chiv Mominus. Therefore, the Gemara is telling us that even though Bederech Chal have other types of Hezek, then the Nizik could say, I want Dafka the money, even if the Mazik wants to repair the item, the Nizik could say, I want the money. Over here, the Gemara says, it's as far as to be Mechalik. Over here, the Chayva could have a Taina and say, I don't want to be called the Shar Mazik. Therefore, over here, we say that this is different than other types of Hezik. The Nechbal cannot ask for money. The Chayva has a right to bring the doctor and heal the Nechbal. Now, continue on, Talmud Beis. The Gemara there discusses, how does a child want to be Mechayv in the Chayv of Tzar, Ripo, Yesheves, and Beishes, without a chiv of nezik? The Gemara goes through each one. In the case of Sheves, the Gemara says, the hadke be'indruno, he locked someone into a room and the person was not able to go out and work. Here the din is that there's a chiv of Sheves, even though there is no chiv of nezik. Now in this case of hadke be'indruno, there's a lot of discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim, where exactly is the chiv over here, and why is this not considered a groma, which we know groma b'nezakin potter. So the Rosh over here, this is in Simon Gimel, in the middle he says, mistabro, it's mistabra to say that this case is dafka shechnisei lecheder b'sorger b'toichai. He took someone and forcibly brought him into a room and locked him in the room. If, however, he was already in the room, and the mazik just locked the door and did not allow him to leave, in this case, the mazik will be potter, he won't have to pay for the loss of work. And the Rosh explains because this is a groma, and groma bin Azak and potter. He compares this to a case in Haperik HaKoynes, after the name of Beis, poyer together b'fnei behemes chaver v'yotav v'nevdo. If one opens the door and allows someone else's animal to leave, the animal goes away and gets lost, the din is that he's not mechuyev because this is only a groma. The same would also be true, the Rosh says, if a person's animal was in a barn and someone else came and locked the barn, closed the door and did not allow the animal to leave, Now the animal starved to death, there also will be potter, for the same reason this is a groma. And Rashi says the same would also be true if he did not allow the person to leave his room. This way the person was prevented from making money by working, there also this is considered a groma and he'll be potter. The only case which Agmar is talking about is in a case where he took him and brought him into the room, that's not considered a groma. And the Rosh compares this to a Gemara in Sanhedrin Dafayin Zayin, which makes a similar chilek. Gemara says that if Reuven ties up Shimon outside in a place where the sun will eventually come and beat down upon him and he'll die, the din is that Reuven is not chayiv. If however Reuven went and brought Shimon outside, Shimon had been inside and Reuven took him forcibly and brought him outside and tied him up, eventually the sun comes out and Shimon dehydrates and he dies, the din is that Reuven is mechayiv, this is considered ritzicha. Gemara says in a case where the sun is already out, then there's no chilek. Even if Shimon had already been outside, if Reuven ties him down, he'll be mechayiv mishum ritzicha. However, in the case where the sun is not up right now, the sun will eventually come up. That's what the Gemara says, a chilek, that if Shimon is already outside and Reuven just ties him down and doesn't allow him to go inside, then Reuven will be potter. If Reuven takes him outside, then Reuven will be chayiv. So the Rosh says the same chilek we could say over here. If Reuven takes Shimon into the house, into the room, and locks him up over there, and he's not able to go ahead and work, the other thing is that Reuven will be mechayiv. This will not be considered a groma. In the case where Shimon is already in a room and Reuven just locks the door, now Shimon cannot leave, that's considered a groma and Reuven is potter. Now the Chiddush of Shmuel from Shmuel Wazowski and Simon Yudches and Baba Kam over here, Ois Zayin, he asks a kasha on this rush, what is the comparison to the case of Ritzicha? One is only mechayiv Shimon Ritzicha if he did a meisa, an act which kills the person. Over there the Gemara is mechayiv between whether he brought the person outside or the person was already outside and he just prevented him from coming back inside. However, in our case, even if he was outside the room and he was brought into the room and locked up, bringing him into the room is not a meisa mazik. The whole hazik was the fact that he locked the door and did not allow him to leave and go work. If so, what difference does it make if he was brought into the room or if he was already in the room? Either way, what's causing the hazik, what's causing the chiv of sheves, is that which Reuven did not allow Shimon to leave the room. If so, why should there be a chilek if Reuven brought Shimon into the room or if Shimon was already in the room and Reuven just locked the door? Now, I'll get back to this point further on, but for now we'll bring another rush. This is a rush in the second parak, which is negate to our sigyo. The rush is dealing with the sigyo of zen hen v'zeh lechoser. In the case of one person lived in someone else's property without his knowledge, whether he has to pay him for the time that he lived there. And Rosh talks about a case of Chotzer de Kaimela Agra. Reuven owned the Chotzer which is intended for renting out, and Shimon comes and lives there. Now Shimon is a person de Le'ovi Le'megar. He's a person who B'derachal does not rent out a place for him to live in. He could sleep anywhere, and therefore it's not considered that he was Nen over here. He's not considered to have benefited from someone else's property since he could have slept anywhere. And the question is, does Shimon have to pay Reuven for the rent of his chotzer? And the Rosh over there says that Shimon is potter from paying, and even though he caused the hefsid to Reuven, the fact that Shimon was there made it that Reuven was not able to rent out his chotzer to anyone else, still the din is that Shimon does not have to pay since he's not considered to have benefited from this chotzer. And the Rosh then goes further and he says that even in the case where Shimon goes and is megarish Reuven from Reuven's own house, still the din is that if Shimon doesn't live there, he boards up the house and now Reuven cannot live there, Reuven cannot rent it out either. There's no one living there. Still, the din is that Shimon is potter. He's not considered a mazik. This is considered a groma ba'alma, and he's potter. If he would have lived there, then he would have to pay for the hano which he had. Now that he's not living there, he was just going that Reuven cannot live there, and Reuven cannot rent it out either. The din is that it's a groma, and Shimon is potter. Now the Mukher Yosef over there in the second parak is on Daf Chesam based in Dabri Arif. He quotes Peshem the Ramah, who argues on this rosh, and he says that if there's a chasev which is kaima la'agra, intended to be rented out, and Shimon comes and lives there, that even if Shimon is a person who b'derachal does not rent a chotzer, so he's not considered to be benefiting from it, still then he has to pay Reuven because Reuven had a loss, he wasn't able to rent it out to someone else. And the same thing the Ramah says, if Shimon evicts Reuven from his house, even if Shimon doesn't live there, so there's no one living there, he's definitely not nene, still the din is that since a house is something which is intended to be lived in or to be rented out, so if Shimon evicts Reuven, he's causing a loss for Reuven, and Shimon has to pay even though he did not have any benefit over here. In the Ramah of the quotes Agamar, he says that from our case of Hatkei bin Druna, there would be a raya to this shayla. In our case, you see that he has to pay for Sheves, even though there is no Nezik Bechlal. Since this person B'derachal goes out to work, now that you prevented him from working, that's considered a loss, and that's not a case of groma. So to a house which is intended to be rented out, if you did not allow him to rent out his house, even if you did not have any hanah from this, you still have to pay him for his loss. Now the Chayim discuss how the Rosh can answer this kasha. What is the chiv between our case, our Gemara of Hatkei ben Druna, in the case of the Rosh or the Chatzar Dekayim Bela Agra, what is the difference if you lack a person in a room and he's not able to go work, there you do have to pay him, If you lock up his house and do not allow the owner of the house to rent out the house to make money, there it is that according to the Rosh, it's only considered a grumma and your potter. So the Ktosei Choshen discusses this in Simon Shin Samach Gimel Ois Gimel. At first he brings the tariffs of the Bach. The Bach wants to differentiate between these two cases, that in the case of Hadke Bin Junior, as soon as he brings him into the room and locks him up, the hezek begins immediately. Therefore it's not considered a grumma, it's considered a mazik biyadayim. Mashenki, in the case where he evicts his friend from his house and he locks the door, or he locks up his friend's chaser, he does not allow the friend to rent it out to anyone, that's not considered a mazik biyadayim because the hezek did not start right away. It's only at a later point, when the Baal Bais wants to bring renters in, and the mazik does not allow him, that's when the hezek is considered to have happened, and that's only considered a grumma, that's not a mazik biyadayim. The Ktosei Choshen argues on this, he says he doesn't see a chilek between the two cases. He says, even by the case of Hadke ben Druno, the hezek does not happen when Reuven brings Shimon into the room and locks the door. Rather, when Shimon wants to go out to work and he's not able to, that's when the hezek is. If so, what's the chilek between the two cases? This case also should not be considered a mazik b'yadayim, rather should be considered a grumma. So Maestri Ktosei has a different mahalach to answer the Rosh, and he says, Loi kosha midi, the kasha does not begin bechlal. He explains, the Torah was mechadesh shachiv of chamisha dvarim, by chayv of bechaveri, one of them is a chiv of sheves. As you see in the sugya, you're mechiv to pay sheves even if there is no nezik, but that's dafka chayv al odom be'odom. However, if a person is chayv in the shor of his friend, or in any property that the friend owns, there is no din of sheves. If the payment is not able to work because of this chavala, there's no din that the mazik has to pay. The same is also true if someone does something to someone else's property, and now the property is not able to generate income by being rented out, there's no din of sheves, the mazik does not have to pay. Therefore, in this case, when he locked the door of the friend's reshus, and now he's not able to rent out his house or his chatzar, since no actual damage was done to the house or the chatzar, it's just that he prevented it from being rented out to someone else, that's a grumma, and here there's no chiddush of sheves. The Torah never said that he has to pay for the loss of income that the person's possessions could have generated. Therefore, dafka and ersika, by the case of Hadke ben Drunya, this is considered odom ba'odom, a hezek that one person caused another person. There the Torah was mechadish, the chiv of sheves. The Torah was mechadish that the mazik has to pay the nizik for the loss of potential work, even though b'derech klal we would have considered this to be a groma, and groma is usually potter. Now based on this, we could also answer the kasha we asked originally on the Rosh and Ersik, the Rosh was mechadish between whether Reuven brings Shimon into the room and locks the door, or if Shimon was already in the room and Reuven just locked the door. And we asked the kasha, what difference does it make? Either way, the hezek is not that which Reuven brought Shimon into the room, the hezek is that which he did not allow Shimon to leave the room, and this way he prevented him from working. So what difference does it make if he was brought into the room or if he already was in the room? The Lachar, based on that which we said from the Ktsais, we can understand the chilik of the Rosh. And that is, the Ktsais is saying, Be'etzim, there should be a Ptur of Grum over here. It's only Nichlal, now which the Torah was Mechadish by Chayv B'Chaveroi, that Odom Ba'odom, there's a Chiv of Sheves. When one person does something to someone else which causes him to lose work, that's not included in the regular Klal of Grum and B'Nezak and Potter. But if he would have done something to someone else's Rishus, either his house or his animal, which caused that he's not able to make income from the house or the animal, that would have been included in the klal of Grom ben Azok and Potter. If so, perhaps we could be mechadish, that this whole pasha of Chayvel b'chaveri, where the Torah was mechadish this din of Sheves, that's dafka where one person did an action to another person. Amaisa odom be'odom. But there klal, it's an injury which he caused the other person, which is mechayv b'chamisha dvarim. Here we have a case where he did a maisa to his friend, which was not mechayv him in any of the other chiyuvim. There was no nezek, there was no tsar. There was no ripoy or baishas, all there was sheves. Still the Torah says that this ma'isa adam ba'adam is mechayvim in sheves. However, this is dafka in a case where he brought him into the room and locked the door. If, however, Shimon was already in the room, and all Reuven did was lock the door and did not allow him to leave the room, that's not considered a ma'isa adam ba'adam. He's not doing any action to his friend. The ma'isa was done in the door of the room. That's not considered of adam ba'adam, and therefore this is not included in the chiddush of the Torah of chayvel b'chaveri. And therefore the Rosh says, then we'll already go back to the regular kolim of Grumman bin Azok and Potter. That's how the Rosh compares it to the case of Pirates Geder Bifni Behemoth Chaveroi. He opens the door and allows the person's behemoth to run away and the behemoth gets lost. Or he closed the door in front of the animal and did not allow the animal to go ahead and eat and the animal died from starvation. These are cases of Grumman where he's Potter. And the Rosh means to say that once this is already not included in the parasha of Chayvel b'Chaveroi, so now we go back to the basic rules of Grumman and Bederech Klal Grumman bin Azok and his Potter. Here also he'll be Potter. If he didn't bring his friend into the room, the friend was already in the room, he just closed the door and did not allow him to go work, that's also Grumma and Hobi Potter. This will have the same din as where he did not allow his friend to rent out his house, he locked up the house, and the house was not able to generate income. The same over there, we see that he's Potter because it's a Grumma. Here also, when he didn't bring the friend into the room, the friend was already in the room, so it's not part of the parasha of Chayvel B'chaveri, then the person will be no different than his possessions. The same if you don't allow his possessions to make money, it's considered a Gomer and Potter. So too, if I lock the door and do not allow him to go ahead and work, I'll also be Potter in this case, which is not Chayvel B'chaveri, since the friend was already in the room. It will be the same cloud that Gomer and Zokim Potter.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.